Welcome back to the program. First hour is brought to you by Thomas Bax at American Family Insurance. 314-298-7770. Call now. Mention that 590 show and get a $10 gift card just for running a free quote. Joining us on the Bellman Automotive phone line is the combat sports reporter for ESPN.com. You can follow him on Twitter at B. Okamoto ESPN. Brett Okamoto, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, man. I apologize for missing the show yesterday. I got my time zone.
Hey, no, it's all good, man. I knew that we would get you on soon, so that's all that matters, right?
Yeah, man. Happy to join you.
Yeah, I'm glad you're making time for us. How's it feel now that it's all over? Are you kind of like, oh, thank God we can move beyond it, or did you find the whole process really enjoyable?
Both. You know, a lot of people were asking me, obviously, last week, how the week was going, and I said I'm loving it, and I'm also looking forward to it being over because it was just. It was one of the craziest weeks of my professional career. It felt really long. I mean, one week felt like 2 weeks, but it was all fun, man. It was all good, and that's what this fight was sort of about, right? It was about a whole lot of money for both guys who participated, but it was also just about a spectacle and fun, you know? So it was enjoyable.
What was the craziest thing you saw in Vegas on Saturday, or can you not say?
A lot of intoxicated fans doing intoxicated things, you know. But that's the Vegas Strip pretty much every evening. So I don't know if anything crazy stuck out. I mean, one of the craziest things is just seeing Conor win a couple rounds, I thought, against Floyd Mayweather early on in the fight. I thought that was pretty crazy.
Yeah, I'm with you, and I saw you tweet that out as well, that you thought that Conor won at least two of the first three rounds, and then we get the official scorecard, and the judges only had him winning one round. I thought that was really strange. I forgot who does the official scoring for Showtime, but at the end of six, he had the fight even at three rounds apiece.
Yeah. I mean, and luckily none of that ended up mattering. I did think that Conor, I had scored him winning two of the first three rounds, but to be fair, I mean, I thought he definitely won the first round, and then I thought the second and third rounds you could have given to him. I will say that some people are like outraged that he didn't win the first couple rounds. I mean, Floyd landed a couple right hands to the body. I think a lot of the shots that Conor was landing was off the gloves. I mean, like I said, the good thing is that none of it ended up mattering. I mean, we got a very clear result at the end of the fight.
Now, I watched the post-fight interview that you had with Conor McGregor in his locker room, and if I had no idea what happened in the fight, and I just walked in and turned on the TV, and there's Conor McGregor, and he's got, you know, like a glass of whiskey in his hand and a big smile on his face, and the way it was shot, you couldn't see that shiner he had on his left eye. I would have thought, you know what, Conor McGregor, oh my God, Conor McGregor pulled the upset. He won the fight. He seemed pretty happy with the outcome. And now I understand that he's a competitive guy and he wanted to win. But I would say the second best outcome was, you know what, you didn't make an ass out of yourself. You didn't get put to the canvas. And, you know, people think that you have a legitimate career in boxing. How satisfied do you think that Conor was with this fight?
Yeah, honestly, though, I don't think that's necessarily what he was thinking about. I don't think he was sitting there thinking to himself, I put up a good showing, I've gained more fans, you know, more people are going to watch me in the UFC now, I've gained the respect of the boxing world. None of that stuff was going through his mind. The reason he looked so happy was because he loves to fight. I mean, that, and that's what makes him so interesting and so likable, is that he's just doing something that he really loves to do. And think about it, I mean, to get the opportunity to go into a boxing ring with Floyd Mayweather, you know, I like to play basketball a couple times a week. If I could just go and play one-on-one with an NBA player and shoot around and I made a couple shots on him, I'd have a big smile on my face.
That's a good way to put it.
But that's what you were seeing with Conor, is that he just enjoyed himself. Like, yeah, he would have loved to win, and he thought he did well. But I think what you were seeing was just genuine enjoyment on his face, because that interview was right after the fight ended.
Now, in your opinion, do you think that Conor has a future in boxing, or is this, as George W. Bush would put it, the soft bigotry of low expectations? Because everybody thought that Conor McGregor was going to get, you know, just his butt whooped the entire time, and he looked pretty good, but he looked pretty good against a 40-year-old fighter who hasn't fought in 2 years. So which is a proper measuring stick?
Well, you know, it was always going to be hard to measure Conor's performance because he was going up against Floyd Mayweather. That's just difficult to say, like, well, how did he do? You know, I mean, and you have a lot of people who are accurately pointing out that Floyd really wasn't throwing many punches in the first three rounds. It's just a weird fight to sort of try and measure where Conor is. I think what we saw is that this guy is a phenomenal athlete. He's got a very strong mind. He prepares well. If he wanted to go over and box, he would have a measure of success in it. But if he's going to do that, then he has to focus on it. You know, I mean, no one can be the best at both mixed martial arts and boxing. It just can't be done. So you have to pick one. And, I mean, I would think he would pick mixed martial arts because he prefers it. He likes it more. He's already a champion in it. So, you know, when I get the question of does he have a future in boxing, well, he could have a future in boxing, but I don't really think he has a future in boxing because he's 29 years old and he's already at the top of the mixed martial arts game. So why would he cross over?
Now, are we going to see something like this again? Maybe not necessarily with Conor McGregor, but are we going to see another boxing match between an MMA fighter and a boxer? Do you think we'll see another one?
I think in the history of time, yes. You know, I mean, eventually something's going to come up and it's going to happen, but it's not going to become something that we see a whole lot. And I think a lot of guys are going to be calling for it. You know, you're going to have the Stipe Miocic's of the world, the heavyweight champion of the UFC calling out, you know, the boxing champion, but I just don't think it's going to happen. You know, we're going to hear about it, but we're really not going to see it all too much.
And I can't see any way that a boxer's ever going to step into the octagon, though. It's always going to be the other way around. It's always going to be the MMA guy going into the ring. It's never going to be the boxer going into the octagon. I mean, yeah, you'll see someone like James Toney do it, but James Toney did it because he was broke and he had no other options.
Right. And there are boxers in the future who will be broke and will have no other option, and we'll see if UFC entertains it, but it's got to be special circumstances, you know. I mean, we're talking about very, very isolated examples here. You know, with Conor going to the ring, and with Tony, you know, James Toney coming over and fighting Randy Couture a few years ago. It's just not going to happen very often, man. I never say never that we'll see something like this again, but it's going to be extremely, extremely rare.
Brett Okamoto joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at BOkamotoESPN. You have a great piece now on ESPN.com about what's next for Conor McGregor and who he's going to fight next. And the very first option that you have, and I think that's the best one, is a third fight with Nate Diaz. I think that's what everybody wants, you know, the rubber match. Nate won the first one, Conor won the second one. Let's have him have a third one and decide on who's the better fighter.
Yeah, the only thing I hate about that is that the UFC is having an interim title fight in October, and that's Tony Ferguson versus Kevin Lee. Now, if Kevin Lee wins that, you know, I have the utmost respect for Kevin Lee. I think he's a phenomenal fighter, but you can almost, as much as I hate to say this, you can almost kind of look beyond him just a little bit because, you know, even though he would have the interim title, you could still say, well, we got to see that trilogy match with Nate Diaz. But if Tony Ferguson wins that fight, I don't know. You know, you got to be sort of a hardcore fan of mixed martial arts to really, truly know what Tony Ferguson has been up to, but this guy is so, so, so deserving of a legitimate title fight that's the only thing I don't like about that situation. I think it's great if we see the third Nate Diaz fight. I'm all for it. I'm excited about it. I think that the storylines leading up to that fight, and just there are a few things better in combat sports than a bona fide trilogy. But I do kind of feel for Tony Ferguson if that's how this all shakes out, because that guy is deserving of a title fight.
Another option that you have in here, and I do think this may eventually happen, and like you said, I don't think it's going to be anytime soon, because I think Dana White's kind of like, okay, you know what? You had your fun, you made your money, now it's time to go back to the UFC, but you're talking about a boxing match with his sparring partner, Paulie Malignaggi, and I think that would be actually an entertaining fight. I could almost see that happening, not on you know, St. Patrick's Day 2018, but maybe St. Patrick's Day 2019 at Barclays in Brooklyn.
Yeah, exactly. And the good thing about that fight is that, well, first of all, of course, there's a storyline of the two sparring, not getting along, Paulie leaving, all of that drama. That's great. But the other good thing about that is that it's actually an opponent that quote unquote kind of makes sense. You know,
yeah.
And even Paulie Malignaggi doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I mean, this guy was a two-weight world champion in boxing. So for Conor to face first Floyd Mayweather and then another two-weight world champion in boxing, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. But the thing is, if Conor's going to box again, you ask yourself, well, who would it be against? You're not going to put him against, like, some guy that no one's ever heard of, and that's probably who he should be fighting. I mean, if he's going to really pursue boxing, then he probably should be taking, you know, an 8-10-round fight against some guy with a comparable record. You know, maybe a guy who's like, I don't know, 6-1 or something like that. I mean, you find someone like that for him, but that's not going to sell. So that doesn't make any sense. But you're also not going to put him against like a Triple G or a Canelo, because that also doesn't make sense. That's dangerous to
Very.
Put him up against one of those two guys. So you find someone like Paulie Malignaggi, who's got the storyline. He's a great fighter, but he's retired. He's not at the peak of his game anymore. So if Conor does step into a boxing ring again, I think it's very, 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 very likely that it's against Paulie Malignaggi.
And I think he's also kind of like Floyd Mayweather, too, where he's not really known for his punching power, kind of more of an elusive fighter. So it's going to be a similar style to what Floyd Mayweather had, too. So, I mean, he's going to be more of a technical fighter than he would be someone who's got tremendous knockout power.
Exactly. And, I mean, Paulie would be in the lottery there. That's well played by Paulie, you know?
Yeah.
As Conor says, fair play to him, because if he was able to wiggle in there and this eventually happens, then, you know, that was a pretty darn good move by him.
With a 130-minute fight on Saturday night, Conor McGregor pretty much well doubled his net worth. Are you worried at all that that's going to maybe not make him as hungry to fight in the future? Like, he's going to be in there. He's going to be in MMA matches, UFC matches, but maybe that hunger to win isn't going to be there considering how secure he is financially now.
I was, when the fight was first announced, and I was thinking about that as everybody else was, like, how would he go back to the UFC and make a fraction of what he's going to make to box Floyd Mayweather? But after being around this guy, and this is the case every time I'm around Conor McGregor, is when you're around him, then you just get his sense of his passion for the fight game, you know. And he strikes me as a guy who can't not do this, you know. I mean,
yeah,
that's how a lot of these combat sports athletes are. You know, they always retire too old, too late. You know, they take unnecessary damage because A, you know, some of them need the money because they make poor choices with it. But B, they love it. You know, it's hard for them to walk away from it. So I think, you know, Conor strikes me as one of those guys. He is, he's not just going, he always said that he was going to, you know, set the world on fire and then walk away and retire young with all of his faculties, and I hope he does someday. But he's also a guy who wants to stay active and wants to fight, and so I'm not too worried now about his motivation. I mean, this guy is very self-motivated.
Speaking of boxers that hang around too long, last Friday we had your friend and colleague Sean Wheelock from CBS Sports on, and he was telling me about a fight that he called not that long ago with Roy Jones Jr. in it, who's almost 50.
I mean, those stories are sad.
They are.
Those are the stories you don't like to hear.
And I mean, like, you still see like Roy Jones Jr. on the HBO broadcasts. And you could tell that he still has his faculties with him, but you don't know what the ramifications are of all these fights that he's having past 40, what the long-term effects are going to be. Okay, yeah, he's like this now at 50. How's he going to be whenever he's 60?
Fighting is a young man's game, man. And in addition to that, fighting is a dangerous game. I mean, quite frankly, nobody should be fighting. If we're being honest with one another,
yeah.
No one. Humans should not be fighting one another and taking concussive shots to the head all the time, but some of them do it, and it's an art, and it's beautiful, and they sign up for that just the same as NFL players sign up for it, but it's a young man's game, and what's unfortunate about the fight game is that it doesn't push you out the door. You can't stay in the NFL when you're 50 years old. You lose your job, but when in the fight game, there's always a promoter out there who is willing to use your name to sell tickets. And that's a very sad side of this sport.
And they're always having to go to, like, some of these far-flung countries that you never heard of, because that's the only place that's going to give them a boxing license. Because they're going to be like, okay, yeah, we've heard of Roy Jones Jr. We've seen his fights on YouTube, but we've never seen him before. So there's going to be the draw at the gate, because they're going to be like, we don't care if he is 50. We're going to go see him.
Well, maybe someday someone will get these guys together collectively. I mean, in boxing, I don't follow boxing quite as close as I obviously follow MMA. That's my job is the MMA writer at ESPN. But, you know, with the USC becoming sort of the quote unquote league now that it is, it's not just a promoter in the sense that we traditionally think of it. It's a league. You know, there was a lot of talk, especially last year. I feel like it's kind of died down in 2017, but of collective bargaining and trying to come up with some sort of answer that pays these guys attention and looks after them after they've retired, you know, because right now they're really on their own. They're completely on their own. It's
yeah.
A short window to make money and then it's finished. So maybe that's something that's coming along for these guys down the road.
Can you shed some light on the reason why boxing fans and MMA fans for some reason just can't seem to get along? Like you have to like one, you can't like both. You have to like boxing, you have to like MMA. You can't like them both. Why is that? Why are so many fans like that? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I don't know. Immaturity, you know, getting too defensive, it doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, both sports, the guys who are at the top of them, and well, not even at the top, just, you know, scattered throughout. You got to be so tough to get into these sports. I mean, so I can't answer that question because I've never quite understood it. I mean, I have a lot of respect for athletes of both, obviously.
Well, you know what they say, you know, you play football, you play basketball, you play hockey. No one plays boxing. No one plays MMA.
Yep, very true.
And what was that great line that Ving Rhames had in Pulp Fiction? You know, boxers don't have an old-timer's day, unless you're Roy Jones Jr., I guess.
I suppose, yep.
Well, Brett, we appreciate you making time for us this evening, sir. Hopefully you'll be able to get some sleep this week and then move on to UFC 215.
Yep, looking forward to it. I'll be up there.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Brett.
All right, thanks. See ya.
That is Brett Okamoto from ESPN.com. You can follow him on Twitter at BOkamotoESPN. He does such a great job of covering MMA, the UFC for ESPN. And he was doing a really good job with that post-fight press conference, or interview rather, with Conor McGregor. I should have asked this. The person, you know who I really felt sorry for? I even tweeted it out. After the fight was over, were those Corona girls. They just stood there on stage.
Yeah, so they're supposed to, that's their job, Berger.
I understand that's their job, but my God, you had to stand there the entire time for that post-fight press conference with your hand on your hip smiling like an idiot.
And look pretty.
They look beautiful, but I felt bad for them. Like, I hope these girls are paid by the hour. Let them go home already.
Well, you just rather stand there and look hot or just sit there behind a board like Giamatti and look
well,
hot.
Well, I mean, Giamatti looks hot, though.
I wasn't.
We should have Giamatti put on that Corona bikini, see how he'd look. No? Would that be horrible?
Let's do it.
I might shave, might get the mustache going.
Who says you have a say in this?
Yeah, who says you have a say in this, Giamatti? Let's take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, we're going to talk about the Matthew Stafford contract and why people are losing their minds about it. I don't understand why. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. So won't you